Hooray! It's joke time!
And now it's time for Dave's Disney View Podcast. Please move across your car to make room for everyone. Our podcast will begin momentarily. Join Dave as he makes his grand circle tour around the Walt Disney World Resort. Dave is a dreamer and an engineer who enjoys the magic and wonder of it all. But he understands its place in history and respects the legacy that's been left. So come along and take a listen to Dave's thoughts about the Walt Disney World Resorts and see it through Dave's eyes.
Please stand clear of the podcaster. Por favor, manténganse alejado del David.
And now, here's your host.
Hey everyone, it's Dave. Welcome to another edition of Dave's Disney View Podcast. You know, once in a while I like to just have fun and just talk about Disney with another guest, another person who just has the same passion as I do. So I'm bringing on a guest today, and his name is Nick. Nick is another relative local living on the west coast of Florida and being a short distance away from Disney and going there periodically. So I'd like to bring him on the show, and we're going to talk about Disney, and I hope you guys enjoy this. Nick, are you there?
Yes, how are you doing, Dave?
I'm doing great. You know, it's always fun to talk to a fellow person who's passionate and, you know, somebody who's just a guest who enjoys it and kind of gets it.
Absolutely.
It's you know, one of my favorite things to do is just head up to Disney and have a little fun, and I think that's what you enjoy too, as we were talking about before.
Yeah, you know, it's really just a great thing to be, and especially to only be, like I am, about 3 hours away, where you kind of get that factor in where it's like, oh, it's Thursday, and maybe I call in sick to work tomorrow, and we'll just head up to Disney for a couple days. And it's really nice to be able to do that, too, because you don't have to crunch so much in when you do go. When you do go for 2 or 3 days, it's just, like we were just speaking about, it's just more relaxing. It's just more fun in a way because you can head up on a Friday and come home on a Sunday. And if you didn't see everything, you don't feel like you're missing everything because you can head right back up the next month.
Right. Oh, exactly. And one of my favorite things, I was just talking to my my kids about this. We're going to take a trip in a couple of weeks. And we were just talking about, you know, the things we're going to do. I haven't even booked a hotel yet. You know, it's a couple of weeks off. I'll get to it when I get to it. You know, it's fine because there's so many hotels to choose from. And I don't typically stay on property. That's just my personal preference. So, you know, the price point is a little too high for me, a little too rich for my blood to go a couple of times a year. If I were going to go once a year and really just enjoy it, you know, maybe I would think differently, but the fact that I can go a couple times a year kind of makes it worthwhile to just stay off property and pay the extra for parking and not worry about it.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's one of my things, too, because the biggest thing is, as much as I love Disney, and, you know, it's obvious that everybody else does, too, because these resorts anymore are just stuffed, is what I would like to call it. Because even we were talking about taking the kids, and even going up to Fort Wilderness, we were talking about just going the weekend, just spending the time on property. I looked at a few different dates, and it was like, date unavailable, date unavailable. And this was either during the week or on the weekend, and we're not talking about spring break or Easter time. I was thinking, like, maybe end of May, and even past any other major holidays in the beginning of June. And then, you know, you open it up to the possibilities of going off-site and looking at some of these other hotel websites, and it's like, yeah, they don't have the same qualities. You know, they've got some good pools, and they have a couple other things, and they're affordable. And then I also have to make a decision right now, today.
That's exactly it. You know, and just the relative merits of staying off property. You know, I view a hotel room as more of a commodity. You know, while I do enjoy it, and I like some of the amenities, I'm there just to put my head at night and be able to sleep, and I get up the next morning and I'm heading back to the park for the most part. I don't spend a lot of time in the hotel generally anyway, regardless of where I'm staying, whether I'm staying on property or not. So, you know, from that perspective, it just kind of works out.
Exactly.
So that's cool. So, all right, you've been to the park many, many times. I got to ask, what's your favorite park to go into?
Favorite park, you know, obviously it's changed a little bit throughout the years, but I always, even as a younger kid, even when I was like 8, 9 years old, I always really enjoyed Epcot. It was something about it. I think it, on top of the size, it was just the sheer diversity, besides even the World Showcase, it's just the different things that are implicated into each section of the park and just really how many things there are just to take in and enjoy. And I'm not even talking about ride-wise, just so many things that are there. I mean, whether it be walking around the World Showcase or Future World, or, you know, trying a different flavor of Coca-Cola even. I mean, there's it's just the variety of things to do at Epcot really, nothing else pales in comparison to what they have to offer, in my opinion, that park. It's kind of been that way for me, so like I said, since I was like 9, 10 years old, like 17, 18 years.
Wow. That's cool, because, you know, mine is still the Magic Kingdom. It still has that special place for me. But I totally get what you're saying, and you can walk into any pavilion in the in World Showcase, and as you walk through the pavilion, you can take in so much, and there's so much to see there, and so many different little aspects to it, from the actual architecture to some of the food to the cast members who are there to right down to some of the shows and events that are happening there that really make it exceptional. And it's much more than just, you know, visiting, you know, a theme park. You get this
Absolutely. This
totally hands-on sort of immersive experience in another country, to a point. I mean, I know it's not quite like traveling to another country, but it's as close as you're going to get while you're still in Florida.
Yeah, as close as you're going to get while you're still in the States, especially in Florida. But the real thing that throws me over the edge is just the attention to detail, because, you know, like most of the time, Disney, when they were developing it, they either sent out or brought in, as far as consultants to even facts of people that, you know, had been running these countries. And, I mean, to come in and say, listen, we need your input on this. We need to know what this was like this. Or sending people out. I mean, this is kind of a side note, but, you know, the exact same thing happened with Expedition Everest over in the Animal Kingdom. And the whole thing was based off to him later. They sent the Imagineers there for quite some time just to survey everything and make sure everything was on point. And really, Epcot does it the best because you can relate it to actual real world.
Yeah.
Magic Kingdom, you go over on the other aspect, I'm with you 100%. Like, you step through the gates and it's just like being a kid again.
Oh, yeah.
But that's the fantasy aspect of it. And in both sides of the fantasy and real world, their attention to detail, second to none. I mean, and when you're talking second to none, I mean, the competition is pretty far back in second place.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point you mentioned there. Just because, you know, Universal is making a good run of it right now by hiring a bunch of former Disney Imagineers and also, you know, building the Wizarding World of Harry Potter and all of the stuff that they're doing there. And I would say they're making a go of it. It's a good show right now. I think in the long run, it doesn't have the same staying power that Disney does. But I find it fascinating that they're at least trying and making an effort to compete in that sense. So makes it interesting.
Oh, yeah, it definitely does. But, I mean, the Harry Potter thing definitely gave them a major boost.
Oh, sure. Like I said, though, I think the one problem is it may not have the staying power. Long term.
That's the thing. Is because it's hard because it's no more.
Right.
So it's hard to develop off something like that.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, once the hubbub dies down a little bit, then maybe it doesn't work anymore. But we'll see. I mean, we'll find out how that works out over time. I think it's interesting.
But as far as let me ask you a question.
Sure.
What do you like as far as your favorite classics, whether it be anywhere in any of the theme parks over there?
Oh, the classics. See, for me, I still am a big believer in the things that Walt actually touched in some way. So I still love the Carousel of Progress, cheesy as it is.
That's my number one.
Because he touched it, because that was his. I love I like the People Mover. I think the innovative technology that they put into that, the fact that it's so understated in a way, is really amazing to me. And then I think the other one that I really the other two that I really still love are the Haunted Mansion and the Pirates, for the same reason that they were really kind of Walt's vision. So he had a hand in them, even though he wasn't around for both of them when they opened, even at Disneyland. But I still think they're pretty remarkable. So for me, that's where it lays. So that's kind of where I look at it.
Yeah, and I'm with you. And my number one would be right aligned with yours is the Carousel of Progress, because you can't go wrong with something that, you know, he's touched. And I think that's why it's always going to be such a landmark. I mean, I know I catch flack from talking on different boards and stuff all the time about, if you think something else more, you know, interesting could go there and more innovative. And it's like, yeah, but that's not the point.
Right. That's the one that I think should never be touched, because that's the original Walt attraction. It was there. You know, it was at the World's Fair. It's the one that you can really point to and go, that was Walt. So I hope that that never changes. Even if it has seasonal closings, I'm okay with that as long as it doesn't change.
Exactly, and that was my point on the whole thing, too.
Well, that's pretty cool. So let me ask, overall, what's your favorite attraction?
Oh, that would have to be. That's a tough one.
Uh-huh. I knew I was going to ask you a tough one.
That's one of the hardball questions, if you will.
Oh, sorry.
overall favorite...
I know, it's like picking your favorite child, right? It's, you know, there's no easy answer there.
Exactly. It would have to definitely be Stitch's Greatest Escape. No, I'm kidding.
Nice.
I'd have to go right along with something that, even though it's not the thrillingest of thrills or the craziest thing out there, I'd have to go along with Haunted Mansion because it's another one of those classics, but it's something that you're always, it's like a staple.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And every time I go in there, it's not that I see something new. It's that I kind of observe something that I never really paid enough attention to before, or did and forgot somewhere along the way.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It comes back to you, and it's like, oh yeah, I remember that. It's one of those types of things that you can look at and you can remember. At least, and it's how I looked at it. Is I was like, oh yeah, I remember that. Or I remember this happening, and, you know, this was 10 years ago, wow, and I'm here again. Mm-hmm. That's like, it's kind of a nostalgia thing.
Yeah, there is that. And, you know, it's kind of cool, too, because, you know, one day I was riding on it, and I got stuck right by the bride in the attic. And so mm-hmm. She was going through her cycle of, you know, saying I do and, you know, saying, pulling out the axe and whatever. And it's about a 3-minute segment that she does, because that's, you know, you go by quickly enough where that doesn't matter. And I got to see it for about 10 minutes. So I got to see like 3 full cycles of it. It was really cool. I was like, this is kind of neat just to be able to see this and experience it in a way that I probably never will again, just because the ride broke down. It was kind of cool.
Exactly. Yeah, those are one of those kind of neat things to pay attention to. I know that happened to me a couple of years ago on Splash Mountain, and it happened for about 20-25 minutes to where they evacuated the ride, and... It was a neat thing, like you're saying, and the cool thing about that is that we're still stuck down kind of by the bottom, and where they're all the animatronics, and you can see everything, and it's just, you take it in when you're stuck down there, because what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, you know, I mean, everything is detailed. Like, you're like, I can't even find an exit light in this place, but then it's like, oh, there it is, and it's gone in with the tree branches. I mean, it's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, the attention that was put into the detail there, I mean, you ride by it, and you're by it in about 30 seconds. But mm-hmm. You could sit there for 10 minutes and still take it all in, because that's how much detail there is. It's just, it's remarkable. I just find, you know, the fact that the Imagineers, that Disney does that, is just incredible to me. It makes it, that's what makes it so compelling and makes me want to go back all the time. That kind of stuff, you know, where it's just, there's so much attention put into the most trivial things. I was reading a blog the other day about over in the Animal Kingdom, right next to the Flame Tree Barbecue. There's a building there that's actually part of the kitchen for the Flame Tree, so it's not guest accessible. But they put so many details on the exterior of that building, and it's kind of tucked away behind the Flame Tree, sort of. And there's like trees in front of it and everything, but they have all these colorful decorations and these carvings on the outside of it, and it's really remarkable. And the author, I apologize, I can't remember who it was now, so sorry to whoever wrote it. It was just fascinating that, you know, they talked about how there was so much detail there in a space the guests probably would never even notice. And I was like,
exactly, it was on the side of the building on a, you know, back 40 piece of property someplace where 90% of people wouldn't even give it the second look. And I mean, that's kind of what it's all about there, is even veering off of a different path.
Mm-hmm. And that's why sometimes, speaking of the Animal Kingdom, I get a good laugh out of it if I'm ever on a board or I'm reading someone's article about, especially Dinoland, and the fact that they say it's so incomplete and it looks like Disney just plopped it in there. And I said, no. The fact that you think that is exactly the reason why it's perfect. Because they put so exactly. much attention into it being, you know, a Southwestern type place where the road just ends and, you know, it's in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, it's cool because it's exactly what they wanted it to be. And you get the right impression. And I'm like, awesome.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the whole thing about it. And and that's what I love about how it makes the whole, their aspect, where I hear this all the time, and where it's just, well, Disney needs another park down there. And while that might be true, I think they're holding pretty well with what they have, because you really can't ask for some more diverse theme parks that sit on one piece of property than that. And I mean, it's to me, there's nothing else like it.
No, there really isn't. I mean, you know, you think about all the things that go on around, all the Disney parks around the world, and then all the other competitors, or I use the term a little loosely, the competitors to Disney, and you realize no one has anything like that at all. Not with that wealth of different things that happen and all the things that you can see and do and, you know, interact with. And that's not even talking about the stuff that's outside the theme parks that you can do. I mean, because there's so much there. You and I talked a little bit about the water parks and, you know, some of the things you can do there. And, you know, there's Downtown Disney and there's, you know, all these other places you can go, the too many golf courses. And there's things you can do, and they're all pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's great. And the one thing with Downtown Disney is that it's very hard to touch in that place because there's been so many ups and downs with what has been projected there and what they're going to develop next. But, you know, sometimes I think people kind of sell a little short. Because it really is, especially if you have a day to burn. Now, I will say one thing for anybody that, you know, maybe listen to it and think, well, hey, let's go. We've never been to it before. Probably Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Half of the week in the evening is just a disaster.
Yeah.
If you've got an afternoon or even a late morning to kill, it's beautiful down there. If you get a nice day, I mean, it's nice. It's nice, and like we were talking earlier, just to go into each shop and just to go in and take a walk. For instance, the Christmas shop there.
Right.
To me, it blows my mind every time I walk in there. Just to even look up and be like, well, you know, we're underneath a big Christmas tree. Basically, is what it looks like, and you feel that way, and it can be middle of July, blaring heat, and you walk in there, and it does feel like, oh, Christmas must be right around the corner. And that's what's so great about going down there is that even the shops make you feel like you're involved in a theme park of some sort.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you could just kind of take it in and just enjoy it a little bit. There's something really neat about it. I remember going there a lot of times, you know, like on a Tuesday afternoon. And it was just fun. You know, I'd go around, I'd do different things, I'd catch up with people I knew, I'd hang out for a while, I'd do a little window shopping and maybe grab something to eat. And there was always something fun to do. And it wasn't crowded and it felt very nice. And sometimes it was even like a show going on at the stage or something. So it was kind of fun.
Yeah, exactly. Free entertainment.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what better way could I have for, you know, have a couple of hours free just to do nothing, basically? You know, where else am I going to go? I'm going to go hang out at the mall. You know, whatever. But it's,
yeah, exactly.
This is much more fun. No, that's cool. Yeah, so it's, you know, it's just one of those places. I just, you know, I still have the passion for going and still enjoy it. You know, after having been going there for 40-ish years now, it's just amazing to me how, you know, how it still has that certain feeling to it every time I walk through the gates of any of the parks and really just going on property because the property itself is so well-maintained.
Oh, absolutely. It's just amazing when you can just cut over regardless of what entrance you're coming from, and it's just everything. I mean, we can go on about the resorts forever and ever because it's everything, the attention to detail, the way that just everybody's so welcoming. I mean, you know, welcome home, welcome back, mm-hmm. We're glad to see you. You know, there's just nothing like Disney, and I'm in the same boat as you have. I've been going there for a long time, you know, 26, 27 years, and that's one of those places that you don't get that kind of repeat business unless you really have that it factor in something special, which is what Disney has.
Yeah.
Because I can't recall, we've been a lot of places, both domestic and international, and I can't recall any place that calls me back, and if it calls me back more than twice.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Because I've never been that kind of guy. I've always had this love for Disney, and that's where I've always had that one stuff, where that one stick is, if you will, that I love to travel, and I want to see different things, but I always wanted, even though Disney's not my home, I'm still 3 hours from there, that it always feels like you're coming home to me. And that's really, you know, talking to people and reading boards and talking to friends and talking to other people that are excited about Disney, that's the main consistent factor is that people are like, you know, it feels like I'm going home. That's just what it is.
Yeah, it does feel like that to a large degree. It's, you know, it's kind of like home. And, you know, I got to tell you, as a former cast member, you know, it's the weirdest thing because it was a job at the end of the day, but it was kind of like home. And the number of people that I got to meet there, both as cast members and as guests, and even today, many years later, it's been a long time since I was a cast member, if I run into somebody and I happen to mention that I was a cast member, they're like, oh, cool, what was it like? And there's like, you know, an hour conversation. And if it's somebody
exactly.
who was...
Exactly, everybody wants to pick your brain about being a cast member.
Exactly, and then if it's somebody that was a cast member, you know, we do the secret Disney handshake and we're all good.
Exactly.
But it's funny because you have that instant connection with people. I was at a resort outside the country actually, and I ran into somebody and he was telling me he was on the college program back in the at the end of the millennium, and he was a cast member in Epcot, and I was like, hey, cool, and we started exchanging stories, and it was like he was my best friend. It was the coolest thing. I mean, it's a little fraternity of a sort, and you know, I appreciate that being a cast member, but I can see it for guests too, who really can interact and just enjoy the fact that they've all been there and experienced it. And everyone has that great love for it. It's really kind of cool. It builds a neat community.
It does, and it's really neat. I mean, there's, well, you know, you can just type in it, you know, on a search engine, and you can connect with people from all over the world. You know, like we were talking about earlier, somebody down your block could have the same kind of feeling you do about it, and then somebody halfway around the world could. And there's not very many places like that you can have that connection with people, like instantly. Because, you know, when you have your fellow Disneyers, people are, they're just drawn to it, and it's the same thing to a degree as being a cast member. I know it's a little different, and you know, you guys can talk about certain things, but just like you on the flip side, see, you're somebody who loves Disney too.
Yeah.
And it's like when you get on the phone with somebody, like I was a little surprised coming out, I'm like, well, you know, I don't know him, but I never was worried about that, because yeah. when both people have a passion for something like this, especially Disney, I don't know, you can just cut it off immediately and just kind of talk about anything under the sun.
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly it. And that, you know, it's the funniest thing, because sometimes, and I mentioned this before, when I'll find a guest who's interested in coming on the show, it's just like, hey, don't worry about it. We'll just come and we'll talk Disney. And then it just goes, and it's fine.
Exactly.
And it's really no big deal, because there is that certain charm to it. And I think that's why the message boards themselves are so successful in the very general sense. You know, they're message boards about Disney, and it seems so weird, right, when you stop and think about it for a second. But it's so personal, and people enjoy it, and they can connect with other people who love Disney. Even one specific thing at Disney that they love, they'll find somebody else who loves it. And that's the amazing part to me. You know, you could love DVC, or you could love a certain hotel, or you could love a certain restaurant or a certain ride, and you will find somebody who loves that same thing, and you can talk to them about it for hours.
Oh, and then, yeah, no doubt. And then if you can find a whole community. I mean, I can give you some websites where some people devote their devoting websites to different things. Like, you know, you've got an unofficial Polynesian website, the Tiki Man. And it's like the first time I ever stumbled across that, I was like, wow, there really are a group of people who have devoted an entire website to the Polynesian. That's some dedication. That's some love. And then I'm like, well, we're all crazy. That's why we do this kind of stuff.
Crazy. Good word for it. Yeah.
Love for Disney. We're all crazy about it.
I love the word crazy in that sense, because it fits. You know, you have to be a little bit off to enjoy it in that same sense. You know, it's interesting, the people that you meet that you run into at Disney. I've run into a large number of people at Disney, and sometimes they're people who you're surprised about that they would be there, you know, the stuffed shirt types, and they're still having fun. You know, they may still even have the necktie on, and they're walking around the parks, and you go, really? You know, in Florida, you're walking around with a necktie, but you see them, and they're having fun anyway. And then you see the casual guests who come through, and you know, it's a mix of everything, and it's really kind of neat. And I think that's remarkable. And you know, when I was doing a little research at one point, and I found out that every U.S. president has visited Disney at some point during their presidency, I was like, really? That's cool. You know?
It's amazing. That's what I'm saying. It ties into everything from, you know, like what you're talking about with the presidents, to where, you know, every Super Bowl, somebody's going to Disney World.
Right, exactly.
I mean, it's amazing.
It's a remarkable thing when you stop and think about it, you know, just how you know, it is that, and everybody goes there, and everybody knows it, and you say Disney World, and everybody goes, yeah, you can be in another country, you say Disney World, people know what it is. That's remarkable to me, that it has that power, and that, you know, people have that great passion for it. So, all right, let's try a different angle here. What's your favorite restaurant on property? Have one?
Oh, yeah, I have. I definitely have one. And, you know, it's not the craziest of all things, but it's something that I've really enjoyed over the years, and that is the California Grill. And it's you know, it's on the expensive side and everything, and it's great, but I can pretty much go there for any time, even an early dinner, late lunch. And it's not so much the aspect of getting the Magic Kingdom view, seeing the fireworks. I just love that hotel. Mm-hmm. So I just love being in the hotel and checking out the architecture of the hotel and saying, okay, well, let's go up there and just grab a quick bite to eat. And then, you know, I'm more of a nerd to go down to the arcade, no matter how old I am, and go play at the arcade. So it's like, I'll pick that, but that is it's a good restaurant. It's good food, good quality food.
Right.
But it's pretty neat because no matter what you do, you've got a wide array of things to do there. And, you know, we're going to be going over that way around Christmas of this year and not staying there. We're going to go to Chef Mickey and take my son and stuff. So I always like to make a stop in there. It's a lot of fun, and I really enjoy the Contemporary and the California Grill.
Yeah, it's funny that you say the Contemporary because, the Contemporary is one of those hotels that I think the people who didn't, like, grow up in and around Disney don't really get the Contemporary. They're like, yeah, whatever, right? But people that grew up in and around it and the fact that they built this hotel where they slid the rooms in and the monorail goes through it, there's something really cool about that. And and I think people that grew up around it really get it. And it's like, oh, man, that is so awesome. It's so cool. And it's just a neat place to go. And if you were there before they opened Epcot, you really got to experience it because there was only the Magic Kingdom. So you would go to the Contemporary once in a while, even during the day. You would just leave and head over there just because. It's the hotel that was closest to the Magic Kingdom. And it has that certain charm. And you're right, the game room there, the game room that used to be on the first floor was absolutely cool. The new game room's pretty cool. But the one that was, the old one was really awesome. That's my opinion.
Yeah, the old one was really great. But see, then that's why I always take myself back to, is that it's like, well, you know, there's a lot of other game rooms I can play with my kids and stuff. But it's like, well, that one's what I've always went to. So regardless of what has changed or what it's like, I'm going to go there anyway.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm with you because I do that too. I mean, I still go there and still enjoy it. But it's just, it's not quite the same. It's just, you know, it's still a lot of fun, though.
Yeah, the old one basically was what they could have used instead of taking up a building in downtown Disney for Disney Quest.
Pretty much, yeah, that's what it was. It had everything in there. I mean, you had a shooting arcade. You had, at the time, you know, top-of-the-line video games. You had a theater in there where they showed a Disney movie.
Exactly.
They had a couple of animatronics things that were on display they were showing off. It was cool. It was a remarkable place.
So what's your favorite place to eat over in the world?
I still think my favorite place is the Sci-Fi Dine-In Theater. It's just, there's something kitschy about it that's kind of fun that I really enjoy. I mean, it's not the movie, it's not the cars, it's not the food, it's the whole combination. It's the whole experience where they've built the studio and you're in there and you're eating and you're watching a movie and you're having fun and it's set up exactly that way, like you're at an old outdoor drive-in. And it's just, it still works for me. And I really just enjoy going in there and just kind of sitting back and just going, this is kind of fun. And I try to get there regularly. I can't get there every time I go up to the parks. Just can't do that every time. I try to mix it up a little bit. But I think that's still my favorite.
Exactly. And I'm with you on that. And that's kind of one of those things. And I do love eating there as well. It's one of those things that if you take one thing away from that, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, well, now it's no good anymore. Well, I get exactly what you're saying, because I couldn't wrap my mind around it at first. I'm like, you know, he's right. Not the food, not the atmosphere, it's not the movies, but it's all three.
Right.
And then it's just a really great time. And it's also a nostalgic feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, okay, you're coming back, you're coming back, you're coming back. And it's the same thing. It's like, oh, you know, this is great. It's the same, but it's always different. And that's what another thing I love about Disney is that something that you went to 6 months or a year ago and you came back, it's the same, but it's different.
Yeah, something might have changed about it a little bit, but it's the same place. So I really enjoy that. I mean, there are a lot of places on property that I like to go into. There's some really, really fun restaurants around the parks. You know, you could talk about those all day. I mean, because, you know, and again, it's not necessarily about the food or the experience. It's the whole combination. It's the fact that they put so much thought into whatever it is they're doing. Again, the theming. You know, it's about the whole experience. I'm being immersed in whatever it is they're throwing at me. And that's the cool part. Just love it. So that's cool. So how often do you get there? About?
We try to do it 3-4 times a year.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not talking about 6-7 days. I'm talking, you know,
weekend
3-4.
Yeah.
We just try to space it out to where we'll do something in between. And if we don't have something going on in between that year of, like, another vacation, then we'll go 4 times for 3 or 4 days and spend, you know, 2-3 weeks up there just in 3-4 day spurts.
Sure, sure. Yeah, we try to do something similar. Something similar, maybe a little less, but, you know, in that ballpark, kind of, you know, just thinking about it, I'm like, you know, it's a couple of days here, a couple of days there, you know, it's weekend trips. It's the amazing thing about living close is that you can go and just do that. I've been known to drive up from South Florida and do a day trip. It's grueling, but, you know, there's nothing like it. You know, you do that and you go, wow, this is cool, man. I got there when rope dropped because I left at 5 o'clock in the morning and I'm getting home at 10 o'clock at night, but commando, baby. But there's
exactly
reasons.
Exactly, that's the whole thing.
You know, there's reasons for doing it. And that's, you know, that's part of, I think to me, that's part of the allure of everything is that you can take it in different ways. So I could go and I could spend a 7-day vacation there. I don't know that I'd want to personally because I live close and I get to experience it different ways. But, you know, other people probably do enjoy taking the longer vacations and enjoying it that way. That's, I guess that's why, you know, some of the things work so well and why they get week-long vacations. But it's, you know, it's interesting because we take it a little differently, and there's the allure of trying it in different ways and ways that work for us. And we go up different lengths of time, different days. You know, you try going on a different weekday. Hey, you know what? I'm going to skip out of work. I'm going to go on a Tuesday. This is so awesome. You know, and you do something really strange, and there's a certain thrill in that. That you can pull that off.
No, there absolutely is, and it just depends on even, you know, the season you go. But the nice thing about it is it's not too big of a deal to squeeze in some of these special occasions. And that's kind of the one little beef I have with Disney that they kind of try to need to make some adjustments with to get more people to enjoy some of this stuff because it's hard that for these people that are, you know, out of towners, is that some of these special parties, you know, Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween, the Mickey's Christmas Party. I mean, would it kill you to throw a Saturday in there, even if you're going to charge 10 or 15 bucks more?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, that's probably what it's about, but...
Yeah, you're right, because that's what makes it kind of tough, right? You know, as a guest, you have to try to find the times that work and make it in there. I know they're trying to extend more of the dates. Like, they added another weekend for Star Wars weekend, and they've added a couple more days to the Halloween party and the Christmas party over the years. It's extended out a little bit more. I noticed this year the Halloween party ended, and I think the Christmas party started the following. It was like on a Saturday, or I think when the Halloween party had its last day.
Oh yeah, they flipped that place faster than you can even say what happened.
Yeah,
it's been all hands on deck there that week.
It was like Monday or Tuesday they were doing the holiday party, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, that's what I said. I was like, I've caught that on the internet, and I was like, wow, they had to have some people doing some stuff there because that exactly like you said, it was Halloween 1 minute, and you blink, and it was Christmas.
Yeah, it was... It's crazy. So I see they extend the dates out a lot, and I notice that, you know, they're trying to do more. So Epcot has more days of the Food and Wine Festival and more days of the Flower and Garden Festival, and, you know, they're doing more like that. So you can see it extending a little bit, and they're doing more things. And, you know, now Animal Kingdom will come into its own when they figure out what they're going to do with Avatar exactly. I'm sure Animal Kingdom will have more days like that too. Something that makes it work.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the thing that is with Avatar is that they're going to, you know, they were looking for a reason to keep the park open later, and they're on their way to finding one, I think.
I think so.
And on top of that, with one of the most creative people in James Cameron, you can't ask for the most, you know, pretty much the most one with creative minds that is with the company, you couldn't ask for a better company to pair with.
No, that's true. So
I'm very excited for whatever is to come with that.
Yeah, I really want to see what they come up with and what they do. Because one of the things I'm thinking in the back of my mind is they're going to revisit some of the things that they had on the drawing board before James Cameron entered the picture. Because they've had a lot of things sitting on the drawing board that'll show up there in a Avatar sort of themed way or something that's kind of close to it anyway, where they can kind of draw on this experience they've already got and these ideas that have been on the drawing board for a while they've just never gone forward with. So I'm curious to see what of those make it and what James Cameron adds to it and what they're able to do. You know, I'm willing to give it a go. I'll be honest, I didn't like the Avatar movie, but, you know, I'm willing to give it a chance. You know, let's see where it goes out and what happens to it.
Oh, absolutely. I wasn't a fan either of the whole plot per se or real, a lot of it, but I thought some of the special effects and the overall scenery with the movie was just amazing. And the CGI, can't even imagine that when you go with a company like Disney, you're basically, you've got a 9 out of 10 chance of picking it right out of the movie and putting it right in a spot and it being spot on exactly what it needs to be from what the movie was.
Yep. If anybody can do it, it's Disney, that's for sure. That's, you know, you would think you were there. I have no doubt.
Yeah, exactly.
No doubt about that. Very cool. Well, Nick, I appreciate you taking some time and chatting with me about Disney. It's always fun to just shoot the breeze and, you know, have a little fun talking with a fellow Disney lover. And I will definitely have to have you on another podcast in the future, and we'll have to do more of this.
Oh, anytime. It was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast, and, you know, love to do it again, Dave.
But for this podcast, remember, that's it for today. If we can dream it, we really can do it. Bye now.
Thank you for tuning in to the Disney View podcast. Now, please exit the moving podcast. The walkway is moving at the same speed as your podcast. Kindly take small children by the hand and watch your head instead. If you have questions, thoughts, or would just like to ask Dave a question, please send an email to davesdisneyview@gmail.com. You can always find Dave's Disney View on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest. The show notes for this podcast can be found on DisneyWorldPodcast.net. Original music you hear in this podcast is courtesy of Sound A Music. You'll find a link to the latest Disney-related autism awareness event on the show notes page. We also encourage you to check out Dave's iPhone apps. There are a couple of Disney-related apps, including a Hidden Mickeys app and a Pin Trading app.